night right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you're listening live to the Bad Bat. I can't even say my name tonight, man. I'm off to a great start, man. Technical issues, and now I can't even talk. Not so good for a radio host. But you're listening to the Bad Batcast live show. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as A Bad Batcast. And there's a reason for that. When you snag your fly in mangroves and break fly rods, I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find any other name. But anyway, you're listening. We do a weekly show every Tuesday. On a long list of long roster of other shows here on the network, and I appreciate you tuning in. You can follow all of my goings on at my website at abadbatcast.com, and the always popular and always illustrious yakangler.com. If you're into kayak fishing and you're not a member over there, sign up, man. It's free. We have a blast. So it's your ultimate kayak fishing resource. So anyway, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Got some folks in the chat room there. The Hammerhead, Greg Crisp from Ringe, New Hampshire. He's a kayak fishing enthusiast up there and writes the blog yakfish.net. And the Paddling Fan from South Florida, he's in the house tonight, man. It's always good to see the Paddling Fan. And the always, last but not least, the always popular and always illustrious in the house right here, in the running for Mustache of the Year, the always popular Greg Becker from Apollo Beach. There you go, man.
Yeah, you know, if I'd known I was in the running, no, I can't say that. Let's find some different.
That way you wouldn't have shaved, right?
Yeah, that was it. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm just kidding with you, man. Oh, there's Aaron in the house from Orlando. He's a Mosquito Lagoon fishing aficionado there. One of Redfish Chuck's protege and maybe even the master, Aaron. How you doing, man? And Mark Lozier's in the house. Look at that. That's a good... Mark Lozier up at Virginia Beach, kayak fishing guide up there, man. Knows a lot up there, man. That's a great area to fish. Let's see. Looks like also on the line, our other illustrious host from the it's not even 1 week past yet. Redfish Chuck from Mosquito Lagoon. What's up? It's Redfish Chuck. What's happening, bro?
So,
you gonna make it?
Yeah, man. Sorry about that. I was opening up the gate in my community there. Yeah,
that's fun. No, it's good, man. I'm glad that you called in. You know, we got a lot to talk about tonight. You know, once again, if you guys aren't in the know, I know we kind of sprung it on you last minute, but Chuck is doing a Monday night show right here at 8 o'clock every Monday night. He said, I don't care about Monday night football. I'm doing a show. So get in here 8 o'clock every Monday, and we can get him in here, do the show, and be back watching the Monday night football by the end of the first quarter, man. How's that sound? Sounds like a good idea to me. That way, you can learn how to do this. And maybe avoid this. That's right, man. So anyway.
Fine use of sound effects, buddy.
Well, they're right here. You know, they're just so tempting. But anyway, I appreciate everybody listening and calling in. And tonight... this week, we're going to talk about some things. We're going to talk about, some things. We're going to talk about, let's see, what do we got here? We've got a mailbag to get to here. We've got Our target species of the week is the always popular speckled trout. And what constitutes a gator trout might depend on what coast you're on or where you're fishing for them. So we'll dig into that in a little while. Also, in the announcements here, another announcement right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. That's right. August 25th, which is a Thursday night, is the always dreaded yet always popular Badtastic Fishing Seminar being held at the always popular Smiley's Coffee House in Largo. And that is for the Fish and Mission Fishing Club right here in Largo, Florida. Right next to Indian Rocks Baptist Church there. There's a little plaza. It's a cafe. Supposedly, it's a really nice venue. I haven't been there. People were telling me they have giant video screens and lights and just everything that a bad batcast needs to do a fishing seminar. And the always popular Yak Sushi from yakangler.com will be in attendance for that. So come on down. I'll have some Badtastic prize packs to give away, and we'll have fun. My topic of that evening will be dock lights. Dock lights at night from a kayak. So if you're local and you're in the area or you want to drive across the state, come on over, man. It'll be fun. So we're talking about, let's see, there's something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't get to my Facebook page right now to double check what that might be. And I didn't write any notes this week. So here it is, 8:07, and I've already forgotten about everything I'm going to talk about. Please forgive me as I'm kind of weaseling my way through it. Oh, yeah, another thing, got an email asking about several emails this week asking me what sort of kayak should I get? And I'm going to put a link in the chat room. There's an article on yakangler.com that I wrote about choosing the right kayak for you. And I want to put that out there for everybody. If you have any questions about what kind of kayak you're looking for, what kind of kayak you should get, there's some basic questions there that might help you determine that. You know, I can't tell you what to get, man. I don't know. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different needs and wants when it comes to fishing kayak. So, you do some of your homework, read that article, presents some pretty good questions for you about what you're looking for, what you may be looking for. My buddy Keith, who I fish with all the time, paddled my kayak. So there's the link for it in the chat room if you're there. If not, and you're listening to the podcast and you've been wondering that same question yourself, go to yakangler.com. Look up that. Also, it'll be in Google News as well. Choosing the right kayak for you and poses some interesting questions and some things that you need to answer before you actually go out there. Always test one out, man. Test drive them if you get a chance. Uh-oh. Paddling fan says, where's the sound? You guys having trouble hearing me?
I still got you.
Chuck, you still got me? Uh-oh. He dropped. You still got me, though, Greg? Everything's okay?
Yep, you're still here.
Okay. Man, I was having all sorts of technical issues and script errors and everything else when I logged in today. So please forgive me. I'm going to stay on here as long as I can. Here comes Chuck back. You there, Chuck?
Yeah.
Chuck, you there? Okay. I didn't knock you out, did I? I mean, what happened? Did you lose me or something, or did your phone just drop?
My phone hung up on you.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know I was that bad, man. Okay, Mark Lozier can hear me this week. That's good. I know some people were having technical issues. Paddling Fan was saying, where's the sound? You might have to refresh the page. Yeah, there he is. Thank you, Greg. Crisp. All right, man. So let's see. Our target species this week. First of all, let me get to the mailbag here because there was an interesting question. And that would be, dear Rob, how big would you consider a gator trout and where do you find them? And that's from Tyler in Sarasota. And, dude, you never sent me your address. I was going to send you a Badtastic prize pack because this guy emails the show kind of new to kayak fishing and is really always emails me and says he loves the show, asking questions, and is really, really loving it, man. So, and he's doing a good job down there. Tyler in Sarasota, if you send me your address, I'll send you a Badtastic prize pack. And I promise it's not a bomb. Target species for this week is trout, speckled trout. Anybody know their Latin name? Greg Becker? I know you're sort of a fish scientist there on the side.
Drumus speckledus.
Yeah, good one. We know them as speckled trout. They call them all sorts of things. They're related to actually the drum family, red drum and black drum, a lot more than they are the trout species. But they kind of look like trout. And I love catching them. It's one of my favorite fish to catch is when you get a big, big old trout, man, because they you know, when you catch dinks, they look like kind of like miniature versions of the adults, you know. And everybody here knows that fishes anywhere in Florida that a 6-inch trout will try to eat a 7-inch lure. And if it can, it'll give it a go. But anyway, it's really funny, you know, when they get up to keeper size, they get to be a little bit bigger and a little bit larger versions of the juveniles. But somehow, when they get above 18 to 20 inches, man, they just turn into a totally different fish, man. Characteristic-wise, their mouth is gigantic, hence the name gator trout. And they got, you know, big canine teeth and they get a big old giant head, man. And I don't understand. I mean, what the heck happens to them? I don't know. But they transform into a serious eating machine once they get fully grown like that. And then when they get even bigger than that, when you get into the what I like to call the D. Kaminsky-sized trout, which are, you know, anything over 25 inches, man, now you're really talking about a beast. Now, I know on the east coast of Florida, they get a lot bigger than they do on the west coast for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but atypically they get, you know, look at D. If you look at D. Kaminsky's website, you can see that chick can catch some serious gator trout, man. They get really big over there. Jerry McBride catches a lot of big trout down there in Jupiter. So I'm not really sure about why exactly they get so much bigger on the East Coast than they do over here. Maybe there's less fishing pressure. I don't know. Anybody want to chime in on why they think that the trout are so much bigger on the East Coast of Florida than the West Coast? Anybody? Chuck? Greg?
Sure. I'm going to probably say they're bigger over here. Actually, I'm not going to say that. I don't think that the trout are bigger on the west. I mean, on the East Coast as they are on the West Coast. I think that there's just more of them, more of the larger ones over here, and we tend to catch them a little bit more readily than you guys do over there. Because, man, I'll tell you what, you start heading up into the Panhandle and over into Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, and there's some giant trout over there as well. So the average trout size in Texas and in Alabama and Louisiana is actually larger than what we catch even here in Florida. But I think it has a lot to do with bait too. I think our fish just grow so much bigger. So big so quickly because of the availability of bait and the kinds of bait that are readily available to those fish over here. I mean, most guys over here catch their big trout on pigfish. sometimes pinfish, but most of the time pigfish, small croakers and that kind of thing. But, man, we've got mullet that are here all year round. We've got pigfish that are on our coast all year round. We've got the pinfish that are here all year round. So we never really go without having a bait source for those fish to feed on.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is, you know, I totally lost my train of thought here because I'm playing around in the chat room. But I think you're right. You know, a lot of that does have to do with the availability of bait and how much they're eating and what they're eating. But, man, I tell you what, you know, we get bigger ones. We get large ones over here, too. But it just seems like that there's more of them on your coast for some reason. Now, you know, you can go out on any day of the week just about and you can catch dink trout out on a grass flat, DOA shrimp, whatever you're using, any kind of plastic jig, anything, you know, gold spoon, whatever. And you'll catch, you can find those anywhere. You might find some keepers mixed in. And even once in a while, you might find a, you know, any something over 20 inches, you know, here and there. I don't know, what do you, you guys get a lot of keepers over there, keeper size in the 15-inch range, Chuck?
Yeah, yeah, we get tons of them over here. I think too, we get a lot of pressure on the trout as well. But I think what a lot of anglers don't do and probably should start doing is if you're really trying to target big trout, you need to get away from the areas where the little ones are at because the big ones really don't hang out in those same areas. I could tell you that probably 90% of my quote unquote gator trout come out of really, really skinny water, and usually first thing in the morning or right after dark. They're loners, you know. You rarely ever catch multiple ones in the same spot. You usually have to, you know, paddle a good couple hundred yards away. They're pretty territorial as well. So you said it best, though. Dee's got that fishery locked down there in Sebastian, and so does Jerry McBride even further south of her. And I'll be honest. We get big trout up here in Titusville and over here in the Mosquito Lagoon, but there's more big trout down by them than there is up here by me, as far as numbers go. And I think, again, I think it all goes back to just the kind of environment they have down there. We don't have the mangrove shorelines like they do down there around Sebastian, around Jupiter and such. So that's all real conducive for those big fish. The big fish needs a place to ambush prey and mangroves and islands and that kind of thing make perfect ambush points. So, yeah, that's my two cents about it, I guess.
Now, most of the time when I find them, it's first thing in the morning, low light period, usually on a shallow – I like to fish, you know, if conditions are right and stuff. I like to look for and even this summer, just a couple of weeks ago, I got a really nice – even Saturday I got a 20-plus inch – a trout on a fairly, well, it was kind of a deeper flat. It was about 4 feet, but usually I like to go out and I'll hit this, I'll hit the flat where it's kind of shallow, maybe, 18 inches to 2 feet. And the surrounding area is like maybe a boat channel or some sort of deeper water, maybe a deeper flat that's, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet deep. On the other side. And working a topwater at first light is a great thing for that, man. That's an awesome way to catch those things, man. And if they're around, they'll blast a topwater. Now, Greg Becker, have you had the chance to actually pick up a trout in the 20-inch range since you've been in Florida?
I've had a few 23, 24. The biggest one was 20, just about 27.
Good. Yeah, man, those are fun.
It's been in topwaters. Topwaters early in the morning.
Yeah. Now, and people say, you know, well, you can't get them, but you can really. They really turn on in the spring and in the fall, especially in the spring. And I remember reading an article about you want to use a grunt for bait, and I can't remember for the life of me. If it was in the fall or if it was in the spring, but whenever their speckled trout are nesting and spawning, which nobody really knows exactly, you know, in Florida where, you know, what time of year they do that, where they do that, anything like that. But there's a good tactic that I read an article about recently, and you use a grunt. So, you know, the kind of bait fish that makes a noise, you know, when you hook it and it goes, ah, 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 ah. There you go. Well, those gator trout will hone in on those things because they try to, the grunt eat their eggs and their juveniles. So, and gator trout, when they're spawning, get pretty territorial and defensive. So they'll hunt one of those things down across the flat and murder it, man, just to kill it. So that's another good tactic. I'm not a big live bait type of fisherman myself, but definitely give that a shot, either in the spring or in the fall. I can't you have to do your research on it, man, to tell you the truth, because I can't find the article and I can't find any more information on when trout spawn. So that's my anything else to add there, Greg? What's your favorite top water for trout in the morning?
Depends on what the water's doing. If the water's pretty flat, like a mirror mullet, they seem to hit it better than something that rides higher in the water, like a top dog or a spook junior or something like that. The mirror mullet seems to ride a little bit lower, and the hookup ratio seems a lot better. But once, if there's any kind of chop on the water at all, once the wind starts to get up a little bit, generally switch to a spook junior or something along that line that'll ride a little bit higher in the water.
Yeah.
Doesn't get bogged down as much. The fish seem to target a little bit better. And actually, once the chop is up, I think it presents a little bit bigger profile, a little easier for them to identify and all the visual noise on the water.
Now,
on top of the water when they're target honing in.
I know some of the bigger mirror lures, you know, when it's really flat and slick and calm, I don't like to use a big, loud lure. I like to scale it down like you said, a mirror mullet. It's probably one of my favorites. Tommy Ellis's Golden Shiner is excellent for that, man, because it has two propellers. And it doesn't really – now, you know, some of the bigger mirror lures, like the top pup and the mama pup or whatever – I forget exactly what they are, but I have several of them that are maybe a top dog or something, top dog junior, big topwaters. And they have big rattles in them, and they make a lot of noise. And I don't like to use the loud lures like that when it's flat calm like that. Because it'll definitely to me I think it's not good for the fish. I think the fish get scared when it's too, you know, now, and I could be wrong. It's just that's my theory on it. Yeah, man. Tommy Ellis is in the chat room there. Just jumped in there, and I can tell you right now that thing, it's a nice cedar plug with propellers on it, man, and it's perfect for that sort of. The flat, slick, calm water, man.
Those props will give it just that little bit of extra agitation on the water.
Exactly.
Something different, you know, something they pick up on or something they'll key on that they'll come take a look.
And what I like to do with that, too, is I like to, you know, is pull it across the surface, like not twitch it or not jerk it or anything like that, but pull it across the surface, like maybe 3, 4, or 5 feet, and let the props do all the work for you. You know, you can walk, you know, Tommy's saying right now in the chat room, you can walk the dog. Are you saying that, Tommy, that you can walk the dog with that one? I'm pretty sure he is. But anyway, if you want to see Tommy Ellis's lures, there's at followingghost@blogspot.com. There's Paddling Fan. Paddling Fan is back. Did you get your audio back, man? Hopefully you guys are okay with your audio out there. Sometimes, God, man, I don't know what it is from day to day. You know, you log in on and I have all kinds of technical problems, and Skype is dying on me and everything else. And other weeks I don't have any problems at all, man. So appreciate you guys hanging in there and letting me know if something's wrong, because I don't always know right off the bat. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Tommy's saying he does make a walk the dog style. So really nice hand-painted cedar plugs. Check out Tommy's Following Ghost at blogspot.com. And man, he does some really nice work there. Oh, man, what else is going on? There was something else I was going to talk about. The Badtastic prize pack for this week, Will, is a copy of a book. If you guys, I know that some of you guys like to read and some of you guys can't read, but that's okay. That's okay. It's got pictures, too. But the giveaway this week is a copy of 1,000 Places to Go Before You Die, or another. Let me grab it real quick. Hold on 1 second, just so you know me, I'm daft at times. There it is. 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, and it is in the U.S. and Canada. So I will give that out some point during the show. Okay, and we're going to go back to the email bag here. Oh, man, the band needs to be fired because, you know, even though Chuck or Chip says it doesn't, it doesn't sound like that on the podcast, man, we... it sounds terrible on live broadcast with the band going, it's like you're, I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to have record players or not, but it reminds me of when, you know, you'd leave your record on the record player and the sun would hit it and it would get all warped and you play it and it's going, it's awesome. There's people in there, they're, you know, I'm sure Aaron's going, record player, really? What's that? I'm kidding.
Yeah, I remember that day. My 6-year-old daughter years and years ago saw my one of my LPs that I had out and said, "What kind of CD is that?"
Oh, that's a good one, man. Yeah, that dessert. That, there you go. No, that's funny, man. Some, you know, it's funny. There is once in a while they'll put out an email like today's the. I think it's, what's his face? Brian Williams talks about that once in a while, like when everybody's graduating high school and it would, he'll go through and talk about all the things that, you know, what this graduating class has, you know, never been without internet and never done this, never done, you know, it's kind of interesting. Makes you feel kind of old though sometimes. All right, here's the, an email here, and this is from Dear Mr. Batcast. I'm thinking about buying a kayak. Which one would you recommend and why? And by the way, great show for all of us noobs. John and the SRQ. Man, what is there like, there's like a cult following in Sarasota, man. I think I need to move down there. John in the SRQ. That's a complicated story. And like I said, check out yakangler.com. There's an article there, or on my blog at badbatcast.com. Choosing the right kayak for you. And I go through some things, some questions, and things that you need to think about, you know, seriously before you actually, you know, purchase one. And, you know, what kind of, you know, how big a one do you want to haul around? Do you have the ability to haul a big kayak around? Are you fishing big water, or are you up in the Myakka River, or, you know, it's all kinds of questions that you need to ask. And there's definitely a kayak for you. You just got to figure out all of the things that you want. Look at all the manufacturer websites. Mine is a Malibu Stealth 12. You know, can tell you things I like about it. I can tell you things I don't like about it. But what you got to remember is there's no perfect kayak for every situation. So make sure that you do your research, man. Figure out what's important to you. Chances are there's a kayak out there, a kayak manufacturer that makes what you're looking for. Is it important for you to have a lot of storage? Do you want stability? Do you want it to be fast? Where are you going to store the thing? Can you get it up and down on your vehicle, by yourself? There's a number of questions that you want to ask yourself. And then the next step in that is actually getting out and test driving them. last week at the there was a Demo Days event at the Gandhi, and there was people there from Ocean Kayaks, and there were some natives there and some Diablos and all sorts of kayak manufacturers there. I love my kayak. Mine is a Malibu Stealth 12, and I love it. It's great. It's perfect for me and my style of fishing, and it does everything I need it to do. Is that going to be the one for you? I don't know. It may be, but it may not be, too. So definitely do your homework on that, man. You know, because you can go out and spend $1,000 on a kayak, and, you know, unless you've paddled it and taken it out and, you know, you like everything about it, you're not going to like it, and you're going to be looking to off that thing on Craigslist and get something else, you know. You know, when your buddy goes paddling by on a Hobie, and you're like, oh, man, and you test drive that thing, your buddy's Hobie, you know, maybe you can do that before you buy one. I don't know. But don't go out and buy one just because your buddy has one and your buddy likes it, unless you're going to test drive it and you actually like it too. All things to consider, man. It's great. And I wish you luck, and I hope that you get one. And definitely let me know what you got and how you like it and how fishing is down there. And maybe even give me an invite to come down there and go fishing. You know, I'm open for that kind of stuff too. I got several friends down there, and I keep trying to sucker them into giving me an invite to go down there and go fishing with them, but so far, no go. And that goes for you too, Tyler, in Sarasota. You know, let me know. Give me an invite, and we'll come down and go fishing. So, also, speaking of getting together and going fishing, man, the Chucktown Boondoggle is coming up Columbus Day weekend in October in Charleston, South Carolina. We don't have the always popular location nailed down yet, but it's either Edisto Beach or the KOA campgrounds north of Edisto. So our man on the scene, Scuba Stan, is giving us recon. He's going out there a couple of times a week, both locations, and fishing it and checking it out for us. So we'll have that here in the near future for you. But me personally, I'm either flying to Atlanta and hitching a ride with Chip, and he's going to let me paddle the big old fishing dive, or he's going to take the fishing dive and I'm going to fly to Charleston. One way or another, I'll be there, and I'm excited. Our boondoggles are fun. We get together, we go camping, we go kayak fishing, we sit around and tell stories. You know, I'm like the only one that wasn't in the Marine Corps, so I get to listen to all these Marine Corps stories and everything, and it's pretty funny, which is awesome. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, man. So Greg, you when can we get you over here fishing, man? I know that you you can't always be stuck to Bishop's Cove or Bishop's Harbor and what do you call it over there, man? What's the other place? Cockroach Bay over there, man. Come on. There's got to be other places to fish in the world besides that. Yay?
Yeah, there are. There's a bunch of good stuff around Tampa Bay. I haven't had the opportunity to fish as much of it as I would like yet, but I still have yet to make arrangements for a very special fishing trip that I was the lucky recipient of right here on a Bad Backcast Radio.
Oh, yeah, man.
Redfish Chuck and I are working out the details, probably a little bit later on in the fall.
You probably don't want to go right now because, I'm not cutting. It's just Florida. It's fishing in Florida, you know, period. You know, this time of year, it's really hot. You know, to answer your question, Tyler, where do you find the gator trout? They're probably going to be more plentiful in the fall, you know, when the weather cools down a little bit, and especially in the springtime. I see them under dock lights a lot when I'm fishing at night. And that's actually my biggest trout I've pulled out of a dock was on fly, and it was 25 inches. And man, you know, you can see them. It looks like an aquarium. So check out some dock lights and see what you can see, man. Might be lucky and find some snook too. Yeah, man. So, so what do you use to catch besides topwater, Greg, when you're, you know, fishing and targeting, you know, trout or reds or whatever? What do you, what else do you use on the gator trout? What do you find that they like?
The only times I've really had a lot of success on or trout or that I've targeted trout was earlier in the spring, and like I said, it was either the mirror mullet, or when the chop picked up a little bit and you know, the sun got a little bit higher in the sky, switched to a mirrodine, same profile bait but a little further down the water column, and kept the bite going pretty well. One of the things that I learned with the mirrodine, it might have just been the couple days that I was fishing, but I started out tending to fish it way too fast, slowing it down a lot, helped the bite rate a lot, and I actually found it helped keep the ladyfish off the bait.
Really slowing it down?
Yeah, the ladyfish loved to chase it, but when I slowed it down, it didn't interest them as much, and the bigger trout seemed to get up on it a little bit. Just a little bit longer pause so that it kind of suspends a little bit longer, teases them a little bit longer as it hangs in the water column. That seemed to do a little bit better for me on those few days.
Now, I love a mirrodine, but I find that I catch more fish on a mirrodine XL for some reason. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, but I've caught more fish on an XL than I have on a regular size mirrodine. And that was the story over the weekend. I was using just a regular size mirrodine, and I was working at probably normal speed, you know, medium retrieve, just straight. And once in a while, I'd stop it, let it suspend for a second, you know, maybe give it a twitch, and then, you know, commence reeling again. And the ladyfish were loving that, man. That was I caught probably three ladyfish the other day. That one of them was really big too, like 18 to 20 inch range. Which is kind of pretty big for a ladyfish. And I was really, you know, I found that, you know, varying the speed on that thing does make a difference. And if you're sure that you're on fish, definitely change up the speed on it. You're right, Greg. You know, I've also at night, another way, sometimes it's the same story at night when you're fishing dock lights, and ladyfish will hone in on that thing around the docks. And I found that a way to keep them off and sometimes grab a trout on the way through is to burn it, speed reel that thing through there. You know, do the kneel and reel, or the, you know, put your rod tip in the water and crank that thing as fast as you can. And a lot of times it'll be a reaction strike. You know, the trout or whatever is hanging out under that dock will say, hey, man, it looks like this thing's getting out of town. And it'll, you know, it'll eat it. So I try to, but anyway, yeah, that's, and I don't know why I, you know, the XL is not that much bigger than a regular Dean. And, for some reason, my hookup ratio on the XL is way more than the regular size mirror Dean. So
well,
give it a try.
Is that your strike ratio or your actual hooking fish ratio that's higher?
Both. I found that, I don't know why, it's not that much bigger. You would think that the regular mirrodine would, you know, it'd be the other way around.
Well, it's also a little bit lower pitch if something's going on that they're they like the bigger lure. Proportionally speaking, it's a big difference in the pitch of the lure, the vibration it makes when it's going through the water. So it might just be that that's what they're attuned to. You know, they're also feeding to live. So if they've got a choice between a little bit bigger bait, they'll expend the energy to get more proteins.
And shrimp too, man. You know, one thing that...
I've never caught a shrimp on a mirrodine.
No, I'm talking about shrimp as a food prey item for the fish. The reason why is because those things pack a lot more caloric punch. A lot more calories per shrimp than bait fish. And if I believe that if a fish has a choice, it's going to eat a shrimp over a bait fish. But, you know, it can be, you know, you can debate that all day long, you know. I mean, it's just, but further, you know, they pack more punch for their size, you know, I guess. And you're right, fish eat to live. And so they're going to do exactly that, man. They're going to eat what's going to be best for them in the end. But I've had them turn their nose up at it too, so it's not always you got to try different stuff, man. Now, another thing I'll tell you on the gator trout side is a lot of times in the summer, there's downsizing your bait will help you. That's the one time a year that the little grass shrimp, they're about an inch and a half long, they're just all over the flats, man. And a lot of, I believe that, you know, they use that a lot for their, a lot of their main prey in the summertime. And especially, you know, on the grass flats when the water's hot and the oxygen level is lower, you know, get them in the morning. But downsize your bait. Use a smaller lure. A lot of times that, you know, they might not pass on something, you know, because it might be in the same size range that they're looking for, you know. I've had that happen on me on docks at night too. You'll have they'll be feeding on little small prey, man, like little, I don't know exactly what they were, but they'd turn their nose up and you'd have to downsize, and I'd use a bonefish fly and start throwing that in there, and it was getting a hookup too, man. So what do you call it, bonefish Charlies, or the, I forget what they're called. Anybody know? Ranger Rick, you know?
Talking about a crazy Charlie?
Yeah, that's right, man. Crazy Charlie. That's the one. Or an epoxy Charlie, even. I've used those on dock lights before, man, when they're turning their nose up at a, you know, 3 or 4 inch soft plastic or a Miradine or something like that. The trout. Sometimes you got to spoon feed them, man. You got to, you know, tailor make their bait, their food for them, man. You know, it's you know, you got to talk to them nice too. You know, sometimes that'll work. Now, you know, Greg, that, you know, since you're like, you know, a former trout fisherman from up north in the streams and rivers and lakes and things like that, right? And you're fly fishing up there, of course, and you know all about the match the hatch, and you use you know, one of these 25, you know, number 25 little midge things and stuff like that. Well, we don't have that down here, man. We don't have the match the hatch type of, you know, the book that you can get in or go turn some rocks over and see what sort of emergers are around, or, you know, whatever you guys do up there, man. I know that there's some glossaries up there that you guys go by in certain times of the year, and certain hatches happen at this time of year, you know, dictates what you use, right?
Well, there are a lot of different schools of thought on that. One school of thought is that many of those flies that are tied to exactly match a certain insect or, you know, a certain emerger, like you say, are tied more for the benefit of the fisherman than they are for the fish. I got into and am a pretty hardcore believer in the school of thought that if you give them something that matches generally what they're looking for in terms of size, in terms of shape, and generally in terms of, not even in terms of color, but in terms of shade, light, dark, if it looks like what they're eating, you know, most of the time, unless you're fishing slow enough that they really have a long time to study it, fish don't read books. So, you know, they're out there to eat, and if you give them something that looks like what they're eating in the place that they're eating it, chances are you got a pretty good shot. And I think it's the same thing in salt. If you don't have the hatches, and you know, I know a lot of people who spend a lot of time tying you know, Enrico Puglisi big fur flies that look so real you think they're going to jump into the boat. But if you give them something that's that roughly fits the profile that they're looking for, whether it's a hard bait or an artificial or a fly or whatever, I think if you're in the ballpark with what, when, where, and how, I think you've got a pretty good shot.
Yeah. Now, Greg Becker, now, since I always appreciate your insight on this stuff, man, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about this stuff with me, because it's always good to have that you know, that scientific insight, you know, and reasons why and stuff. You know, a lot of times I want to know the reason why, you know, if that's just part of my personality, I guess. I don't, you know, if I'm not catching fish, I want to know why. If I am catching fish, I want to know why. So I always want to know why. And a lot of times I can figure it out, and a lot of times I can't. But that's just part of fishing. But anyway, due to the fact that I enjoy your insight on this stuff, I'm gonna mail you my copy of Fly Fisherman's Guide to Saltwater Prey by Aaron Adams, and it's actually a guide to, and it's a ton of fly patterns in here, and fly tying instructions, and the prey, and how to match coastal prey fish and invertebrates with fly patterns that imitate them. And a lot of them he ties himself. A lot of them, who was that? The guy that invented the gurgler, Norm.
That would be Norm Cartside.
Yeah, well, that guy tied some flies and put some fly tying tips in his book for him. So kind of tells you the kind of person Aaron Adams is. And so email me your address, and I'll get that out to you, man. Because I appreciate I appreciate your insight, and I know that you'll definitely appreciate this book. And it just, you know, for the just for the patterns alone. Okay, who do we have here? We have area code 603 on the line here. Let's see, area code 603. You're on Kayak Fishing Radio. Who is this?
This would be Greg.
Oh, hey, man. Good. Hey. The Hammerhead. Greg Crisp, yeah. Man. How are you?
I made it. I'm doing pretty good. Finally got the kids in bed. No, no.
Are you
they
sure
need
about
to go
that?
Back to sleep.
Yeah. All right, man. Awesome. Well, so how are you doing? Do you want to weigh in on this topic?
Oh, well, I was listening to Greg, and I pretty much, you know, agree with them. I think the size and shape is the most important, and color, you know, trailing by a pretty distant amount. It's, you know, really the silhouette and the size. If you're fishing something that's a lot bigger than all the bait fish around, the fish is going to, you know, wonder what's up. And the same with if it's smaller than everything around, it's not going to waste its effort on it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you know, and then sometimes, you know, when you look at the largemouth bass fishing lures back probably in the mid 90s that were in the, you know, the big giant rainbow trout, 14-inch rainbow trout size stuff, you know, I don't know. They say that big fish like big lure, you know, big food. So I don't know, man.
Why is that?
Well, because they pack more. It's a bigger meal for them. It's more. You know, they're a bigger fish. They need more calories to live. So I would imagine a larger meal is going to provide that for them.
Right, and they got to burn a lot more energy just to get it than a smaller fish would. So it works that way too.
Yeah,
and again, I've caught some of the biggest rainbow trout I've ever caught on a number 26 fly in the Farmington River on a little thing called a chocolate dun or a nidhami. You know, most of the time you'd just swat them away thinking it was dust in the air. But you know, if that's what they're eating, that's what they're eating.
Yeah, I know, and it's really weird. Tarpon will sit there and gulp glass minnows, you know. You know, a 150-pound tarpon will sit and gulp glass minnows, you know. So it's really it's really strange how that happens. I don't know if it's maybe that's what they're in the mood for or something. I don't know. Maybe that's the bait that's around. But you know, it's funny when you see them chasing little inch and a half bait fish, and you throw a 4-inch bait in there, you'd think that they would want to eat it, right? This is like, you know, when I'm dock fishing and things like that. Well, it doesn't always happen that way. And sometimes you got to put on a 2-inch fly and toss it in there and it'll get eaten. You know, I don't quite understand that. But I understand the match the hatch and how all that stuff works. But anyway, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. And what I'd like you guys to do, if anybody's interested in winning the 1,000 Places to See Before You Die book that I'm giving away as the Badtastic Prize Pack, go ahead and send me a tweet. I'm a Bad Bat Cast on Twitter. Anybody that has a Twitter page or a Twitter account, send me a tweet. I'm listening to Bad Bat Cast on Kayak Fishing Radio. And first, let's see, we'll go with, I'll go with the first one to get in on that, gets the book. And we'll announce that. So listen for the ring. People are probably like, what do I want to buy that for? What do I want to read that book for? That book sucks. It's a fishing show and he's giving away a travel book. What's wrong with him? But it's interesting and you might like it if you're into traveling. So go ahead and give me a tweet. Oh, man. So what else is going on? So you getting out fishing this weekend, Greg?
Oh, yeah. I'm shooting for two trips this weekend. Hoping to go out Friday night and fish the tide out at Joppa Flats. So that's like probably launch at like 8 o'clock in the evening and fish till probably like 3 a.m. And then Sunday, talking about taking a family trip up to the Connecticut River and float, you know, a 10-mile section or so of the river. And then put out, take out, and do it that way. So
awesome! I'm doing a night trip this weekend too, man. I'm doing the going out about 7:30, and same thing, getting back about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Love that, man. All right, Somebody hit me on Twitter here, and it's the paddling fan. The paddling fan scores the 1,000 places to visit to see before you die. So go ahead and DM me your address again there, paddling fan, and I'll get that out to you, man. Uh-oh, somebody else just you rang. See who it's a Facebook. Oh, that was Greg Becker. Oh no. You got
No, that wasn't for that. That was the address of the other thing.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. Good deal. Okay. Yeah, I'll get that mailed out to you, man. I'm telling you, Greg, you'll really appreciate that book. And Aaron Adams is the man. And if you don't know about him, on my blog, on the cool sites list there, I believe he's number one or number two. His website there. So jump on there and check out his goings on. He has a blog over there and some fly patterns. And, man, the dude's a marine biologist, so he definitely knows what he's talking about. And he loves the fly fish. So that dude he's a fly fishing ninja, man. Yeah, man, paddling fan. He got the bucket list book. So that's awesome. Let's see. Greg Becker, are you fishing this weekend?
Negative. Not this weekend or next. I've got work commitments both weekends, but
bummer.
Be back in the saddle early in August.
Any chance to get out during the week?
Nope.
Oh, bummer. That's a drag, man. I tell you, I'd be pulling out chest hair if I couldn't get out at least once a week.
Yeah, that'll be all right. Junior fly reel and I got out in the for the first time in the kayak this past weekend, and he had a good time. So we'll be targeting another trip in early August.
So how did he do?
He did great. Aside from the fact that the paddle he had was about a foot and a half, 2 feet too long for him. I gotta get another paddle that's the right size. But I've got a little Cobra Play. It's a little 10-foot boat that you can spin in a dime on, and. You know, we didn't go too far. We kept it. I didn't want his arms to fall off and have to drag him back to the dock. But he did great. Had a good time. Got bumped by a manatee, so he was all happy.
Now, how wide is that Cobra? Is it wide enough to use a short paddle?
Yeah, it is. It's a It's a pretty narrow boat.
That's
good. I don't know what the measurements are, but it's,
okay.
You know, I'd be comfortable using a little bit of a shorter paddle. You know, he's 8, so
yeah,
he needs something a little bit smaller than a 230.
Absolutely. You know, I had a Carlisle day tripper, and it wasn't the longest. I prefer longer paddles myself because my boat is really, you know, it's 33 inches wide. So, and I'm telling you, ever since I got rid of the shorter day tripper and I got my big 8-foot Rogue River, I love that thing, man. And it seems like I can paddle so much more efficient without banging my fingers on the gunwales or on the sides as I'm paddling. So, there's way less finger banging going on with the longer paddle. So, Chip, I know you're going to listen to the podcast or not. But anyway, Chip, I saw that you set up my recurring shows for the next couple of months on the Blog Talk Radio there. And I appreciate that. Thank you for doing that for me. But one thing that you need to know is that Chip put a, you know, we can upload pictures there of, you know, to as a little kind of slideshow to kind of advertise our show. And, you know, there's Kayak Fishing Radio logo and there's a, you know, the kind of pictures that you put up there. You know, there's me holding the fish or... even though there's not very many of those in existence, you know, pictures of me holding a fish in existence, that is. And, you know, a picture of a kayak or, you know, whatever you want to put in there in a little mini, you know, slideshow there so that when you click on there, you can see it and it looks cool and everybody's happy and everything. Well, he took a picture and he uploaded to all of my shows on in August is a picture. It's a picture of me. He probably got it off my Facebook page or something. Me sitting on a park bench with my dog. Okay, and that's my Bad Bat Cast Live picture for August, I guess. So thanks, Chip, and always remember, I will return the favor. But. Not today. So just watch for it. Just watch for it. And it'll get you when you least expect it. So it's a little inside jokes with the Kayak Fishing Radio crew. Let's see what's going on. Tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific, the West Coast show, Isaac the Nothing Miller. Tune in. He's got some good stuff going on there. And we need you to call. He needs your phone calls and talk to him about that. So go ahead and do that if you're so inclined. If you're up, if you're into West Coast fishing and you want to see fish that look like giant oyster fish or oyster toads, toadfish, except they're, you know, like 20 pounds, tune into Isaac's show. And he does a good job. You can also follow his blog, which is yakfish.com or something like that. Anyway, the nothing, it's the underline nothing on Twitter. And I believe he goes by the same handle on Facebook as well. So anyway, that's what's going on. Chip's show, or let's see, tonight's Tuesday. No, Chip's not tomorrow night. Chip's Thursday. Tomorrow night, the Mid-Atlantic show with Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and he's on at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Everything from the Susquehanna Flats, Chesapeake Bay, Virginia Beach, he covers all that stuff. So give him a call tomorrow. Tune in, listen to him. If you can't listen to any of the shows, all of them are available either on iTunes or on the you can listen to the last week's worth of shows right there on kayakfishingradio.com under live broadcast. You can still listen to all of the shows. So Anyway, and Chip is on Thursday at 8 o'clock. He is the daddy of all kayak fishing radio. He's the one that invented the thing and got us all started and getting on the radio and talking about kayak fishing. So anybody out there, if you guys ever want to call me, man, feel free. The number's at the top of the page on the website. It should be, if you're in the Blog Talk Radio page, the phone number should be there. I'm more than happy to listen and talk to anybody about kayak fishing. So feel free to give me a call anytime, man. And I appreciate Greg Becker for coming in and talking a little bit about fishing. And the Hammerhead, Greg Crisp from New Hampshire, I appreciate you guys coming in, man, and putting up with me and supporting the shows. And you guys are always around, and we really appreciate it, man. And everybody in the chat room, Aaron, post some pictures, buddy, of some of your latest fishing trips, man, and I want to see your Keys fishing pictures, man. And I'm really wanting to go, man. I need to get down to the Keys. So let me know when you get those pictures up, or I'll look at them, look for them on Yak Angler. The Paddling Fan, I'll get your book out to you, buddy. Mark Lozier, thank you for coming in. And we got to get you on here and talk about Virginia Beach fishing. And last but not least, the Ghost 1066, Tommy Ellis, man. Purveyor, awesome artist and all-around outdoor dude. Check out his lures and his art at Following Ghost at blogspot.com. And all right, man, that's going to do it for me. And we're out of here, and I appreciate everybody coming in and listening. And as soon as I find my my out music, I'm out of here. So until next week, check out abadbatcast.com, yakangler.com, and wear your PFD and take a kid fishing. So until next week, see you guys later.